St. John, the 8th chapter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus says. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is in nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The world would like to put Jesus on trial to convict him of sin, both in his way of life and in his teaching. For the sinner, it is that Jesus upheld the law and lived according to it, like some sort of fanatic. That causes the sinner to squirm, to know that the law can and should be kept perfectly. And any false teaching of unholy living that tries to appease the world's wicked desires and rebellion, well, that would mean it brings down God's judgment and condemnation, if this is true. And in a world of anything goes and whatever makes me happy, that simply will not do. For the self-righteous, the teaching of Christ would also show they've not kept the commandments, no matter how much of a show that they've put on. So too, in his way of life, Jesus not only loves God perfectly, as they cannot, he cares for the very least. Oh, but he also publicly associates with the scum of the earth. He shares a table with sinners and tax collectors. Yet he dares to say that a pillar of the church is not of God. He dares to say that Abraham is not their father in the family tree of the righteous. Well then, to Jesus, the self-righteous will say, he's a low-down heretic of a Samaritan. The worst possible genealogical insult of the day. Jesus says that the self-righteous are not of God. Well, then they will call Jesus the devil. for the sinner and self-righteous alike, that doctrine of Jesus that convicts and it pricks the conscience, well, it can't be pure, but that of a Samaritan. And the way he lives his life, well, he must have a demon. And the thing that's most worthy of him being convicted, he calls himself God. I am. From before even Abraham, he says, I am the one true eternal God. To those who do not hear, he must be a heretic, a liar, a madman, but in any case, be put on trial to convict him, and he has got to go. So it's easy for ourselves. It's easy for us to see ourselves as the victim, as those who follow Christ in his pure teaching and the way of life that is above reproach. If we are to stand on the word of God, then we will be wrongly accused, persecuted. Brothers and sisters around the world, martyred. The world will hate us, both sinner and self-righteous alike will want us gone. The world may want to put us on trial to convict us of sin for our beliefs and our practices, because unlike us, they are not of God, nor do they hear the words of God, because they don't have the ears to hear. And so they will pick up their stones to throw at us, because in reality, their aim is set at heaven. But before we glorify and honor ourselves, I do have a question. Have you ever put Jesus on trial to convict him for his teaching or his way? In those hard words that the world would close their ears to, has your silence betrayed you? Has your own life and teaching been pure in love and in truth? Do you bristle at who Jesus invites to sit at table? Are you maddened that he would bring forgiveness to that person, especially those who have hurt us? Do you march him right into the courtroom when something bad happens to you and claim the victim of a broken world rather than the perpetrator who has broken it? In a world of suffering, do you doubt in your unbelief? Was the message of hope and peace and joy for real, or was it just a lie? When convicted of your sin, brought low, humbled, made to suffer, do you pick up that stone? I know I do. We have covered our ears. We have lifted our stones. We have railed against and we have shouted, crucify. Convicting, slandering, crucify. And yet Jesus, he is no liar. And he has a truth to tell. So open your ears for this good news. Jesus is truly the great I am, the very Son of God, the promised seed of the line of Abraham, the prophet of prophets, who was, who is, and ever shall be, the very Word of God made flesh for us. And the good news is that he did not make these claims to honor himself. He did not come to glorify himself. He came to save sinners. The jeers, the slamming, the rocks, the whips, the nails, the spear. He humbled himself to be made man, that in his word and in his life we might find our salvation. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of the prophets. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins that was promised to our father Abraham. And all because we were there. We were there, like Barabbas, standing in the judgment hall as the verdict is declared, standing next to the Holy One of God himself. One will be released and set free. The other will stand condemned. The judge says, "Who shall I release?" And in the greatest injustice in the history of mankind, Jesus answers, "Release them. Release them." "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" the judge asks. Jesus answers, "Father, according to your will, crucify me, not them." Bleeding and suffering and dying to set us free. And in Christ's blood alone, we have been grafted into the family tree of Abraham to be inheritors of the Exodus into the promised land. Christ's own Father glorifies him in his life and in his death upon this cross, in which our salvation is finished once and for all. Just as Abraham would rejoice to see the day of the Lord when it came. God has kept his word that in our baptism, through the forgiveness of sins that were won upon the cross, we are of God. His own. And for we who keep his word sealed upon us, fed us at the table, we will never taste death. Indeed, the wage of sin is death, the conviction of sin by the one who is judge. And yet for all who believe, the penalty has been paid in full in Christ's death upon a cursed tree. But we know that Christ was victorious over death itself, as the Holy One of God would not see decay, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God. that we are to speak into a dying world around us. Even if they want to convict us, say we're of the devil. Even if they cast their stones, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in teaching and living in the word of God, we honor him. And to be sure, he has glorified us. To hear him, to know him, to be of him. The great I am, the eternal, everlasting God. Together, as we near Easter Sunday, we rejoice that soon, so very soon, we will see his day together on that day of his return. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.